In what they say is the first such study of its kind in the U.S., a team of scientists and public health professionals has examined a group of residents of southwestern Pennsylvania to determine if the health problems they report are the result of living near the industrial practice of horizontal fracturing for natural gas known as fracking. That's the process that involves drilling deep underground into tight shale formations, injecting a million or more gallons of water, sand, and a list of secret chemicals to shatter the rock and release the gas. The formerly bucolic Pennsylvania landscape has been transformed by the construction of well pads, gas flaring towers, and the rumbling of hundreds of heavy trucks that service the sites, traveling on local roads and highways. Air and water pollution related to fracking operations has prompted many residents with health problems to seek answers about the possible links of their illness to the natural gas extraction process. David Brown, director of Public Health Toxicology for Environment and Human Health Incorporated, helped coordinate the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhu spoke with Brown, past chief of Environmental Epidemiology and Occupational Health in Connecticut, who discusses the project's investigation, where the objective is to determine the cause of residents' health complaints.
We look for health effects, potential health effects, in people living in southwest Pennsylvania. But we looked in a fairly traditional way for public health, which is to identify the people who were thought they were ill or who seemed to be ill, and examine them and their situation, including their housing and their things that were near their housing, to try to determine what their health status was and what potential things might be affecting their health. We knew that the gas fracking was going on very near their property and where they were living. And so we went to Pennsylvania. It involved a nurse practitioner who would examine people. It involved community involvement people who were able to communicate with the population, the people, and have them explain what their problems were. We also looked at the information, scientific information, that was available about what the exposures might be that these particular families were being exposed to. What we found was that there was clearly health effects that were occurring in a portion of the people that we're talking to, and those health effects involved physical effects, for example, nosebleeds, headaches, increased asthma attacks, skin rashes, and some what we call cognitive effects, confusion, inability to sleep, high senses of worry and anxiety because they had essentially lost their ability to control their environment around their homes. There was gas drilling going on around their homes, extraction of gas. Fumes were getting into their homes and near their homes, and they were actually getting their water. Some were finding that their water was contaminated and undrinkable. There was a reasonably large number of people involved. We think somewhere between Washington County, Pennsylvania, is about 200,000 people in it, and we think that the numbers are of those people who are living near gas wells and or gas production facilities who are potentially being exposed to emissions from the facilities, either through the air, the water, or the soil. There was probably 5, maybe 15% of that population was in an area that looked like they could be at risk.
But, David Brown, correlation is not necessarily causation. Are you convinced these maladies are the result of fracking and not something else?
Well, we're pretty convinced that it has to do with the gas activity that's going on down there. One of the things we're looking for, before we can answer the question that you just asked, is public health is called a case description. What is different about this population than other people that might be sick in Washington County? And, you know, everybody has a certain amount of illness around them, so we wanted to sort out which was which. And I think we're getting close to the kind of exposures. We did a simple process where we took those people that we had examined, or those individuals from each family that we had examined. We took their data, put it into a standardized format, and then gave it to a panel of experts and said, okay, identify which of these people you think would be likely to be sick anyway, which would be potentially affected by the gas drilling, and if so, what would they be affected by? And we found a portion of those people that in terms of the time when the drilling started and when they reported that they were ill, in terms of the distance that they were from the gas facilities, and in terms of the other health conditions they had, that could only be, or the most likely explanation was that they were being affected by the gas drilling.
On July 13th, thousands of people are expected to protest at the offices of FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in Washington, D.C., against its likely approval of liquefied natural gas export facilities that would be supplied by an increase in fracking around the country.
FERC takes a very narrow view of what it's responsible for in a very broad problem. FERC could go a long ways towards correcting this problem by saying, you have to tell us what's in the gas line. You're going to have to tell us where you got it from and how you got it. FERC doesn't do that. FERC has a very, it said, no, we're responsible for moving the gas, and that's what we do. And that's our charge. If they would be a little more thoughtful, in my judgment, about what their responsibilities are on a larger scale, the risks would be understood. As it is now, one would have to be very naive to allow the person who provides the pipe to decide whether gas will come into your neighborhood or not.
That was David Brown of the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project. Find more information about the project and the hazards of natural gas fracking by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.